question for you. That question is the title of my message. What? Why can't I stop? Why can't I stop? How many of y'all got problems breaking bad habits?
Amen.
How many of y'all, no matter whether we've been saved a long time or a little bit of time or never, we still have bad habits we deal with every day. Amen? Now, some of them may have been close to mine. Drinking. Ooh, I had a bad habit drinking while I was in college. Wasn't fun. Caused me to flunk out of tech. That's not a good thing, right? However, when I was doing it, I didn't care. I didn't worry about the consequences, and that's where a lot of us are today. No matter what the habit is that we're trying to break, we don't worry about the consequences. Because the habit that we're trying to break gives us too much enjoyment, don't it? Gives us too much personal enjoyment. Another thing I tried to break loose from? Yeah. Never really did drugs. But I did smoke pot. And that was one thing that I tried to break loose from back in the day. But we got all kinds of things, don't we? Some of us are addicted to different things. Hey, guess what? How many of y'all know, and it's going to hurt me a little bit, how many of y'all know you can be just addicted and habitual to sports?
Amen.
As well as drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, whatever. We can all be just as addicted to other stuff, can't we? It might be not sports, it might be watching TV. We're addicted to it. We want to stay in the house. We got that habit. What is it they tell us? It'll be a habit if we do it like 27 straight days or something like that. I don't know about you, but we got a lot of problems in our churches. We got a lot of problems in ourselves that we've been addicted to doing stuff for way longer than 27 straight days. We still got issues with it. And again, it don't necessarily have to be what everybody thinks an addiction is. Amen? What everybody thinks a bad habit is. It can be something good, like I said, sports, TV, whatever. It could be running around your house. How many of y'all know you can get addicted to your house? OCD people, can you get addicted to your house? You don't want to do anything else but make sure that house is clean. All day long. That's the same thing. You try to break a bad habit that you're going through. And we just can't seem to break it, can we? We just can't seem to break it. Some of the ones that are bad, like sin addictions, sin habits that we have, Satan goes, ha, ha, ha. You enjoy that too much. You enjoy that way too much to stop doing what you're doing. I know when I was doing the crazy stuff, he said, don't worry about getting up the next morning. You'll enjoy it tonight. And I'll be honest with you, with the alcohol part of it, there was a lot of nights I had no clue the next morning what happened. But Satan was telling me that's the way I should be living. That's the way other people, that's the way all my friends were living. That was okay. You don't have to worry about that. Then when I flunked out of tech, I said, hey, Satan, you liar. You lied to me, dog. Because when I quit drinking, all those friends that I had, or thought I had, that Satan told me I had, guess what they started doing? They quit hanging around with me. They were like, oh, we don't want to be around you if you ain't going to drink with us. Hey, guess what? Even if you're still in some of those situations, you can still have fun hanging around with somebody without doing the actual things that you're doing that you used to do. Amen? But we got bad habits that we can't seem to break. So some of them may be family problems, maybe family issues that are going on in your house right now. Maybe we pray. We promise God. Once we get saved, we promise God, don't we? We're like, hey, if you help me break that habit, I'll do whatever, whatever, whatever. And then what happens? He goes, okay, boom. You'll break it. Guess what? Satan ain't going to break it that fast, but God can. Amen. We got a God that loves us enough that he can break it that fast. But then what happens? We turn back into our human carnal self and go back. We stop for a little bit. We stop not doing it for a little bit. And then what happens? We fall all the way back in whatever bad habits that we were trying to get out of. Amen. Some of it may have been losing your temper. How many of y'all lose your temper? I better not be the only hand up in this place. How about you at home? How many of y'all still lose your temper? Whether even though you might be saved right now. Hey, guess what? Another bad habit that I had, and y'all might not believe this one because y'all probably never heard one of these from me, was I had a bad habit of cussing. Bad. I worked at AT&T on a call center, and man, like every third word out of my mouth started with an F or something worse. But that was a habit that God took from me. That was a habit that I had to be willing to say, that's Satan. That's not me. That's not godly. But it was a habit that I had to break. I had to let God break it for me. Hey, some of us, when we leave church today, whether here or in other services, guess what? You might be cussing people on your way home because you still haven't completely surrendered to that habit. We might feel guilty about stuff. Amen? We might feel... How many of y'all scroll through social media? How many of y'all scroll through Facebook? Instagram? What's that other one? Snapchat. Last week I called it Chat Snap. And what's the other? There's another one too. What is it? Twitter. Ah, I forgot Twitter. TikTok. Oh, yeah. Oh, we do have a TikTok account yet, but I'll let y'all know about that later. But we scroll endlessly, don't we? Think about that. How much of a time suck is that on our lives? How much of a brain drain is scrolling through all of that social media? We let it get to us, don't we? We let it tear us down. And we feel even worse than we did when we started looking at it. I don't know about you, but I've seen some of our Christian friends on there. And I'm sitting there looking at the stuff they're posting and going, what in the world? Where would that even come from? But they got bad habits again. They need to break. Because I'm going to tell you, unless we turn them over and let God truly take care of them, even after we get saved, we're still going to develop bad habits. Amen? Because I don't know about you, but I am total human. On the outside and on the inside, except for my soul. And I thank God for that part of it. Amen? Some of the habits we might be breaking... This was me a couple years ago, not so much after I found out I had diabetes. But we go in, open that fridge, and what? We eat half of what was in there, wouldn't we? Oh, boy, that's good. That's some good stuff. We'd lose our temper after we got ate it. It'd be like, oh, man, I'm stuffed like crazy now. We'd cuss it out. Man, fridge, I can't believe you let me do that again. Hey, guess what? It ain't the fridge's fault. Amen? Those habits are our faults. They're our faults. But I know all of us have different bad habits that we've had to break or that we're still continuing to break. We want to change them, don't we? We want to change them. We want to get away from those bad habits. We've asked God. We've tried to stop in the past. It didn't work. Amen. Well, guess what? It didn't work because we didn't let it work. Amen. It wasn't that God didn't stop it or didn't want to stop it. It's because we didn't fully want to stop it. And that leads us to that title again today. Why can't I stop? Why can't I stop? We might have the right intentions about doing something, but we got the wrong strategy to get it done. We might be trying to change. We might be trying to get rid of those bad habits, but we're trying to change in the wrong way. We're trying to change something counterintuitive to what it will actually take. Amen. And I apologize if the message might be a little bit incomplete when we get out here today. But guess what? The reason it hasn't changed, we've got the right intentions. If you haven't completed it, if you haven't completed getting rid of those bad habits, it's because we're going about it the wrong way. We've got the wrong strategy to get through it. Amen? We have to be three or four things with it. We have to be practical. We have to be practical in within ourselves. We can't expect us to do miraculous and above unless we allow God to do it for us. Amen. We have to be emotional in it. I don't know about you, but you are not going to break a habit. I know I didn't break one if you don't have some emotional in it. If you don't have some of you in it. If you're not passionate about it. We have to be relational about it. Until it gets down on your heart level, we're not going to want to change it, are we? We're not going to worry about it. Because Satan's still going to be in there going, ha, it's okay. You ain't got to worry about that. God will be all right with that one. I don't know about you, but if it's a sin habit, God is not okay with any of them. No matter what they are, no matter how little we might think they are, no matter how little Satan might try to lie to us and tell us they are. But we got to get relational with them. We got to admit it. The first step to recovery is what? Admitting you got a problem. Admitting that you got a bad habit that needs to be broke. We got to be heart spiritual about it. We can't just go about it willy-nilly. We have to be full-on heart spiritual about it. If we're trying to eat the wrong food, guess what? We got to change our access point. We got to change our data. We got to change what we're actually eating. Hey, I don't know about you, but I don't like certain foods that are really good for me. That may be a revelation to some of y'all, but some of y'all may feel like that. We got to be willing to change. We got to be willing to go past that cauliflower taste, if that might be your blockage, or broccoli, or whatever. Some of them might be eggplant somewhere in that neighborhood. We gotta get past that wrong food part and access the better stuff for us. If we got a bad habit of oversleeping, oh, how many of y'all oversleep? Everybody? How many at home? How many of y'all oversleep? If Carol was in here, she's out in the front with the boys, but I promise you, she oversleeps every day. I mean two or three times a day. I'm just throwing that in there. I love her, but she does oversleep. Guess what? Guess what might help? Guess what might help us break that habit? I know she don't have one. She doesn't use one. It's called an alarm. It's called an alarm. If you do use one and you still oversleep, guess what? One way to break that habit might be to set the alarm for like 15 minutes before you usually do. And then maybe you won't oversleep. Maybe you'll get up on time. Amen? But we got to be willing to change stuff. And that way, if you do change the alarm, maybe you won't be late. Now, I love Carol, and I'll deny ever saying this, but even if she got up an hour before she had to leave for church, she's going to be late. So, we're just going to leave that to her. We might be trying to meet a spiritual need with something besides what's going to meet that need. We might be trying to meet a spiritual need with something worldly, something social, rather than the God that can take care of it, than the true meat maker? That's not a word, is it? Yeah. Than the true person that can take care and meet that need. We got to focus on the spiritual image and the element of that change. Amen. For many of us, there's a reason that we can't change. Y'all know what it is? Same reason that I couldn't change. One, I didn't want to. One, I was perfectly fine, acting like an idiot most of the time. But we're focusing on the poison of religion and forgetting the power of the grace that God gave us. We're focusing on the poison of religion and forgetting the power of God's grace that He gave us. Poison of religion. Are we religious? Hey, some of us would say, oh yeah, I'm religious. But we haven't really done it, have we? We haven't really turned everything over and let God take care of where He needs to do. We'll say that we're saved. We'll say that we love God. But it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all word games. Amen. They'll say,
I'm not a church person.
I don't need to go to church to get that taken care of. Guess what? Yeah, you do. They don't like religion. Hey, guess what? I don't like religion, but I love me some Jesus. I love me some relationship with the guy that can actually take care of my problems and my bad habits. How about you? And you might ask, what is religion? Religion is our attempt to earn God's approval by following the rules. It's our attempt to earn God's approval by following the rules. Hey, guess what? None of us can earn God's approval by following rules. We have to accept somebody, don't we? The only way that we can earn God's approval is by accepting His Son Jesus that died on that cross for us and having that relationship with Him. Again, not just knowing Him, but knowing who He is. Having that personal relationship with Him. Not just, oh yeah, I've heard of it, but He's living in your heart, trying to change it. We're trying to please God without God. That's where we're failing. We're falling short, trying to break those habits, but trying to please God without God in the equation. Satan, again, will lie to us and tell us everything's okay. But if we ain't got God in there, we will never have a way to get out of that dark and dying tunnel, will we? There's a reason that we can't change, trying to change by religion and not by grace. The most powerful, unknown verses empower us to change. Here's your first scripture today. It's from Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The book of Titus chapter 2, verse 11. NIV version says it this way. Let me know when you're in there. Titus 2:11. Those at home, give me an amen or a thumbs up in the comments. Let me know you're there with us. Yeah. Again, Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all the people." I don't know about you. What that tells me is that we're saved by grace, amen, not by our works. We're saved by the love of God, not by our habits. Amen? Not by the bad stuff that we do, but we're saved by the grace of God. Grace is, I might not pronounce this right, but charis. Charis. The unmerited goodwill and favor of what? God. That is what grace is. The unmerited goodwill and favor of our God. God's favor. God's power. God's strength is always a gift that's been available to us. But we have to accept it, don't we? We have to accept it. We can't earn it. We can't earn those things from God. Amen? Man, I don't know about you, but I definitely don't deserve it. We're all sinners. Even after we get saved, we're still sinners. Just saved by that grace. Amen? And again, none of us deserve it. And many Christians will believe that they're saved by grace. Now it's all on them. They can do whatever they want to do. The once saved, always saved. But God says, hey, that thinking might be a little messed up sometimes. Amen? Because we still would have sin in our lives if we lived like that. We think, now I've got to get it done. We try hard. We check all the boxes. We follow the rules. We try to be good. Trying not to be mad at somebody. Trying not to lust on somebody. It's tough sometimes, ain't it? Because Satan still beats us up. And he will until we go to heaven. Until we die and go to heaven. Satan will try to separate us and keep us in those bad habits. The grace that saves us is also
the grace that sustains each one of us.
Titus again 2:11-12 says this: "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Hey, guess what? That word that was wrote back all those years, this and present age, is still today. That word is as true as it was then as it is now. Amen? So we have something to sustain us when we get in situations that we want to turn away, that we want to do bad choices in our lives. We got a God that loves us enough to have sustained us through all these years. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. It teaches us to deny our worldly passions. And those are hard, aren't they? Those are hard to deny. Because again, see, if Satan knows you got one, he will hit you full bore 24/7, 365, trying to get you back to that bad habit or worldly passion that you had. But it also teaches us to live self-controlled lives. Meaning, don't get angry at everybody too. Don't jump over the fence and strangle somebody. How many of y'all want to strangle somebody this week? I can't be the only one. We also got issues we want to deal with, don't we? But it teaches us to be self-controlled. Instead of reaching over and grabbing around the neck, just grab around the hand. Talk to them a little bit. It teaches us to be upright and to live godly lives. That's what grace does for us. What is the it that teaches us to live that life? It's not rules, is it? It's not law. It's not religion. It's an angry God looking down at us, loving on us, saying, "Stop messing up. You're killing me up here." How many of y'all know God loves you enough to get angry about the decisions that we make, especially if it's bad habits that we keep doing over and over and over and over again? And I'm all right with him yelling at me. I don't know about you, but I'm glad when he yells at me and says, "Hey, foreman, man, straighten up. Stop doing your stupid stuff. Stop doing your carnal stuff." Not only am I up here watching, but everybody around you is watching. I'm glad we got an angry God when we do the wrong things. Amen. It, though, is the grace of God. What enables us to say no to wrong things? It's not our grit. It's not our determination. Amen. It's not our strength, but it's God's Spirit. It's God's grace that allows us to say no. The grace that saves us is also the grace that sustains us. Focusing on a poison religion, we forget about the power of that grace, don't we? So God's grace sustains us in this way. The focus of religion is outward. Stop yelling at your kids. Stop smoking. Stop drinking. Stop with the addictions that you have. Stop wanting to shop, drop until you roll. How many of y'all know people like that? They will go shopping, whether they got money or not. They will shop. They might be yard selling every weekend, or going to Amish country every weekend. Stop. Hey, that's just as bad a habit as some addictions if it's keeping you away from a godly walk. Amen? Matthew 23:25-26 says this: "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside
will also be clean. First clean the inside of your cup and your dish, and then the outside will be clean. First clean the inside of our heart, our mind, and our soul. And then when people look at us on the outside, they'll be like, whoa, wait a minute, something changed. Something changed like it did when they figured out that I wasn't going out drinking with them anymore. That I stopped drinking. There was an outward change that everybody could see. That's a true godly change in our lives. That's truly when we give up the habits in our lives. It's when somebody looks at us and goes, hey, wait a minute. Didn't you used to? And then we were like, yeah, but let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what changed. Let me tell you why I don't do those things anymore. And he opens the door for you, don't he? But the focus of religion is outward. The focus of his grace is inward to our souls. Ephesians 3:16, NLT version says this. I pray that from his God's glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Not through other stuff. Amen? Not through worldly stuff. Not through friends and family. Amen? But through God's Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit living within us. For an example, I'll give you. For years, can we go back to the eating thing? Y'all know I like to eat, right? Amen. For years, I could eat whatever I wanted to eat. Didn't bother me. Never get belly. I got belly now, but I'm paying for it later. But for years, I could eat. Didn't have to worry about it. Played softball 2-3 times a week. Kept the weight off of me. I could eat whatever I wanted to. Late night Big Macs, quarter pounders, fries, always large fries. And then what happened? I quit playing softball. My body fell apart. I had to look at something. Gained 40 pounds. I was like, wait a minute. This is not right. And you never felt full before. When you could eat anything, you never felt full. You could eat 24 hours a day and be good with it. Be alright with it. But my body changed. My metabolism changed. My physical capabilities changed. What do we have to do? We had to change something then, didn't we? Because then, if I'd have kept eating like that, I'd be 450 pounds or more right now. So I had to change what I did. I changed what I ate. A lot of times I'd get burger without the bun. Yeah, I know. How can it be a burger without a bun? It's not right, is it? Most of the time, though, I changed to the pop. At that time, before, I would probably go through a 6-pack of 24-ounce Mountain Dews a day while I was at work. That's not counting what I did at night and on the weekends. So I had to change that. So I changed, got some diet drink. Let me tell you, diet drink is nasty. It don't taste good. But it's necessary in order to be able to break those habits. Now, I don't even hardly ever drink diet anymore. We found those zero sugar drinks. And I don't know about you, but I could probably down a few of those still today. But we had to change, didn't we? We had to try different things. And then I found out by spending a week in the hospital that I had diabetes. So I had to change something else. Not only did my metabolism change after a quick playing softball, apparently I got diabetes afterwards. So I had to figure out what to do. And the doctor was like, I'm glad I got the one I got. Because a lot of diabetic doctors will tell people, you can't eat nothing. You can't touch anything, wheat, whatever. potatoes, off lemons. And I got a doctor that said, we got to get this working. What do you like? And I'm like, well, I'm Italian. So, pasta, rice, a little bit of everything, which is all not good for diabetic people. But I went through the doctor, changed my habits of the way I ate. And I still eat the same stuff. But instead of eating the whole half can of pot or pasta pot that might be left after dinner that night before I go to bed, I just eat a regular portion of pasta. So I can still have the stuff that I love without the issues of raising my sugar. God changed that for us. But He broke that habit. It might have been a hard way to get that habit broke with the way I was eating. But He said, look, this is a whole lot better than where you're headed. Because I wasn't headed any place good physically. But He changed that. We got to be willing to allow God and honor God. Sorry. When He does change things in our lives. But again, with me, that wasn't just a change of behavior. It was a change of my heart. I decided that I wanted to live a different way. And that the only way I could live that way and get rid of those habits was with God leading, guiding, and directing me each and every day. In other words, I'm not trying in my power. I'm trying the only way that a Christian should, and that's in God's power. Relying on Him to take care of whatever issues I have, whatever bad habits that I've had. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says this. But He, being God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Therefore I am strong. For when I am weak, I am strong. For when I am humanly and carnally weak and allow God to work through me, is when I am strong. Amen. It's not that we're trying harder, it's that we're trusting more. It's not that we're trying harder to break those habits that we have. It's that we're trusting God more to take care of them and take them away from us. When we trust, God always loves us. God always gives us grace that sustains us. Amen. And we can be honest. We can be honest with each other. We can be honest with ourselves. But more importantly, we can be honest with God about the true issues and the true habits that we have that need to be corrected, need to be taken care of. Amen. Because we are only strong when we're honest with God. If we're not honest with ourselves, we're not honest with God. But we're only strong when we are truly honest with our Lord and Savior. Amen. If we need help, God's the light that can help us. God's the light at the end of that dark tunnel that you've been chasing through the bad habits that you've got going on right now. Because you got to get out. One reason you got to get out of that darkness is because sin grows in darkness. Sin doesn't grow in light. Amen. Satan grows when we're in the darkness. We got to have that moment of truth. We got to have that moment of truth when we admit whatever the problem that we have is, whatever the issue, whatever the habit it is. Amen. Again, the first step is admitting that we have that problem. We can't do it on our own. It's part of that admittance. Amen. More than one person tells us that you have a problem. How many of y'all got more than one person telling you you got problems? You got some issues that you got to deal with. You got some bad habits that you got to get into. Well, guess what? If you got more than one person telling you that, you got a problem. I got a problem. We got to admit it. Amen. We can't correct it if we won't confront it. If we admit, we get help for it. Amen. And guess what, guys? Everybody will tell you, you can't ask for help. Satan will lie to you. You can't ask for help. They'll think you're weak. They'll think bad about you. They won't do anything. They won't come around you anymore. Amen. But guess what? Helping, asking for a sign of help is not weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. It's a sign that we are willing to truly let God take care of our issues. Let God take care of whatever the habits that are building up inside of us. Because again, even after we get saved, we still got habits that we need to change. We still got issues that we need to break in our lives. Amen. Before they come for the final song, let's pray. Does anybody need help today? Anybody need a habit they need to break? Just put your hands up here or comment online. If you have some issues, then we can talk online. We can talk to you later about them. But we love you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your message today, Jesus. Lord, as always, I thank you for your Holy Spirit getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word spoken and not mine today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the blessing, Lord, in your message about breaking the bad habits, Lord. Lord, about what we need to do to truly live for you, Lord. To truly get out of the lies that Satan has each one of us in from time to time, Lord. Lord, to truly be living in the light, Lord, and not in the sin of darkness, Lord. Lord, we ask you just to put somebody on our hearts this week, Lord, that we would tell about your amazing grace, Lord, that we can tell how they've changed, how our habits have changed, Lord, because we met you. Not just knowing who you are, Lord, but having that personal relationship with you, Jesus. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, right now, if anyone here, Lord, or online, Lord, has something that they need to change, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you commit that in their hearts, Lord, in their mind and their soul, Lord, right now, Jesus. Lord, that they may be willing to share it with somebody, Lord, to truly help people break away from the lies that Satan has us under, Lord. Lord, with the habits that he says are small, but we know, Lord, in your word, all of them are the same, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do for us, Lord. In your name I pray. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody stand for the final song.